Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I guess I hadn't often thought of the church in Rome as being particularly dysfunctional. Corinth, maybe, big time. Not so much Rome, although the way Paul moves into the reading for the day, you figure there must be something going on there. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Yeah, right. Who gets to decide who's strong, right, and who's weak, and on what basis? And you know what's going to happen when you put that question. They're all strong, thank you, just like the women of Lake Wobegon. There are those who are so deeply loyal to God's word that they want to stamp every part of their life with the holiness of God. The food that they eat, the clothes they wear, the way time passes, the way they deal with time, day in, day out, week in, week out, and the holy seasons and the year itself. Strong, yeah, staunch. And there are the others, just as strong, actually. Strong, who want also to bear, to wear, to stamp the holiness of God in their lives, too. It's just they want that as Gentiles, living among Gentiles. Strong, yeah, really, they're all strong. It's just that where the stuff that hits fans, where that hits the fan, is like, now what day are we going to worship God? Do we do that on the day of rest? Do we do it some other day, Sunday? What kind of food do we eat anyhow? Is it kosher? Is it just anything out there? Sacrifice to idols? There was rancor. And you can read these same issues, really. There was rancor and suspicion and distrust in a good many of the churches Paul served. And it was destructive, and you can read that in the epistles as well, destructive of worship and of fellowship and of witness. And this is where Paul checks in, true shepherd that he is, as is true in his other epistles, his high-carb theology, which has nourished the church for ever since. It drives our theology, particularly us in our Lutheran tradition, right? His high-carb theology turns out really to be a very practically driven, a very pastoral theology, one that roots every aspect, not just of theology, but of life, rancorous life even, in Jesus Christ himself. I think the theme verse, if there is one in the pericope we had, is the verse that says, "Except," and that's the NIV translation. I really think there are other translations use a little more positive word for that. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And Paul knew good and well that the rap laid on Jesus Christ was that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. When that word welcome, in other words, is used and Jesus Christ is the subject, that's big time. That is major welcome. That is bigger than just an ad that some church may put out in hopes it gets on television these days. This is welcome to the kingdom. This is welcome to life itself. This is welcome that brings in those who may coming in have been set against the others there and transforms what divides into what builds up, what complements, what completes. Strong, well, we're all weak too, but we're all strong in Christ, but with each other, not without each other, and not over against each other. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Another one of those as directives. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Welcome as Christ has welcomed you and touched you with the redeeming and transforming love of Jesus Christ. As Christ has welcomed you, welcome each other in the name of Christ. Sinners all, welcome nonetheless. At which point Paul goes into that exegetical rhapsody that we all gave voice to together as we went through the text. Look at all of those parts that are italicized there. Isn't that heavy-duty stuff? One after another. It's just that what I did without any extra cost for those of you who are coming here this morning is to give you some footnotes. Professors really like footnotes, even in chapel. And the footnotes are there to highlight the fact that when Paul goes into the Old Testament, he doesn't just go helter-skelter, random-scandum. He dips down into the Tanakh, into the Torah, and he dips down into the prophets, and he dips down into the writings, that is to say, the whole of the Tanakh, the whole of the intent of God has always been that sinners are welcome here at the cross. And not only that, the intent as he articulates it is that all of those folks, Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, whatever else, may with one heart and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same vision as it happens that John describes in Revelation 7, where those people gathered from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every conceivable tongue, all, however, brought together and united in praise around the throne of the Lamb. And what Paul and John speak of prophetically, we are blessed to celebrate proleptically. Praise the Lord. We'll just pull that one phrase out. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That is our word of welcome, right? Praise the Lord, all you peoples. A word that has been reverberating around the world, beginning even before Paul with the psalmist and through Paul. And I bet if your ears were really tuned to hear that, you could hear those words reverberating also from our brothers and sisters in Germany. Wow. Well, okay, Germany. Would you believe Thailand? How about Nigeria and Togo and India and Brazil and Japan? And Ethiopia, Russia, China, Praise the Lord, all you peoples, praise the Lord. The Lord's advent has really come, hasn't it? It is reality in this world, in around this world, even in the world we call home on this campus. Praise the Lord, all you peoples. Amen. Amen.